the equipment up here. I'll go ahead and put this up. Do you think we could learn anything from other people's mistakes? We certainly ought to be able to learn from our own mistakes. And you know, that's what Paul's going to tell us today in our message. And I want to say this before we get too far into it. Pretty much this lesson today is going to apply to Christians. But I think it's good for me to go ahead and say this. If you're not a Christian, you could be one today, but giving your life to Jesus. And he said, if you believe that Jesus is, the Bible says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God who died and raised from the dead and he lives today, and you really believe that, you could be baptized into Christ and become a Christian today. So I wanted to share that. But basically, this message is going to belong to those of us who are already Christians. You know, Paul was writing these words in the book of Romans. And he says, and by the way, this to the church, he says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. What he's talking about here is the Old Testament Scriptures. Can we learn anything from the Old Testament Scriptures? Well, Paul said we can. We can learn a lot from the Old Testament Scriptures, and some people think, well, that's Old Testament, that belonged to that past, we in the New Testament. No, no, no. Paul lets us know right here that we could take those Old Testament Scriptures and learn a lot from their from the past to help us today. And that's what we're going to be talking about, basically, because, I'll do this. The Old Testament, Jesus was concealed. I like this. In the New Testament, he was revealed. And the Old Testament brought up a lot. If you go back in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Psalms, if you really get back into that Old Testament book, you could see Jesus all over it. But the Jewish people didn't know Jesus the way we do. He hadn't come and showed himself as the Messiah. And when he came to this earth, he began to walk in the flesh like we are. That's why he had to be born as a baby. He grew up and had a ministry. And he began to teach these people. He began to tell them who he was, that he was the Messiah. He was the one they were waiting to come. And all that, you see. So now they begin to actually see him and talk with him and hear about him. Of course, most of them didn't accept him, which was unfortunate. But there are over 100 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. So it's important for us to use the whole Bible as Christians, to look at all the Bible. And this is what Paul's trying to get the church at this time, the Romans, to start doing a little digging in about the very Savior that they're looking at and had walked with. They on this side of the cross now. These are the same Jesus that they had under the Old Testament. I want to make sure you understand that. But now we'll get to the message. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Church at Corinth had a lot of problems. They had so many problems. And remember one thing, this is a Gentile church, basically. We are Gentiles, by the way. We're not Jews. We're spiritual Jews. But this church was a Gentile church. And what did it say in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4? It said, moreover, brethren, Paul talking to them, he said, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the Red Sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. What rock was it? That rock was Christ. Christ was the one that was with them throughout that Old Testament as they walked across the Red Sea. God parted that sea. Remember, they was going to leave Egypt. And God called Moses and said, lead them out of there. So when he got to the Red Sea, Moses is standing there at the Red Sea with all these people behind him. And he's saying, okay, Lord, what now? Because think about it. How's he going to get all these people across that sea? God divided the water. And they walked across on dry land. How about that? So these people that he called out of Egypt just crossed the Red Sea heading for the Promised Land. That's a wonderful picture. But what happened here? The mistakes of Israel is a warning to us, the church. Because everything looked pretty good when they crossed that Red Sea. Everything was going good. They crossed that Red Sea, and we're going to see what happened here. But with most of them, what does it say? God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, what does he say? Now, these things happen for our example, we Christians. Take a look at this. He said, I want you to look at Moses, and we're going to see what mistakes they had made, and it should register for us. We don't want to make the same ones, right? He said, now these things became our example, Paul talking to the church, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. It's a warning, church. You know, some messages are easy to preach and some ain't. This is going to be a kind of hard one. But Paul wanted the church there and wanted us to take warning and look at their example. See, they were happy when they crossed that Red Sea. They left Egypt. They was in captivity back here in Egypt. Now they got a pathway open, and boy, they crossing the Red Sea. They're going to the Promised Land. Wow, you know they were happy. But see, because of their disobedience, it didn't turn out so well, after all. You know, Paul said this. He said, do not become idolaters as some of them. Y'all know what happened here, right? Most of you do. What happened? Y'all remember this? Y'all remember the calf? What really happened here? Let me tell you the story. Now, I can't give you all of this today because of time's sake, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. I'm going to get you through it. In 1 Corinthians 7 and 8 says, and do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. You know what happened here? Moses. God called Moses. Moses, come up the mountain to me. Leave the rest of the people at the bottom. Come up to me. I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And then you can take them to the people. But the problem turned out that Moses was gone. How long? How long was he up on the mountain? 40 days and 40 nights. But the people got complaining. Where's Moses? He ain't coming back. He's not coming back. I don't understand where he's at. I mean, we can't follow that man no more. And they started raising up and complaining, and Aaron, God was left in charge. The people started rallying around him and said, Aaron, we got to have some way to worship. We got to have something to worship here. We can't. Aaron said, okay, here's what we're going to do. All of y'all take off your jewelry. Take your jewelry off, all your gold. And I'm going to mold just a calf. And you can worship the calf. So this is what they did. Seemed like a good thing, maybe, to them. But didn't turn out too well. But see, Aaron was kind of backed in a corner. I don't know if they'd have killed him or not, but them people probably would have, because they done riled up. But it wasn't bad enough to have a calf. Now they're going to dance around the calf half naked, some of them naked, in an orgy. Just having a big time. You know how people get excited worshiping? But the problem turned out, God didn't like this. Moses come down the mountain with the tablets, the Ten Commandments. And he come down the mountain and he heard this racket down there carrying on. He said, what in the world? He goes on down. Once he got down and saw what they were doing, he took those Ten Commandments and he threw them on the ground and broke them. That's the first time the commandments were broken, by the way. God was angry. You know what the first commandment is? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Where did they get the idea of the calf anyway? Well, you know what? They just come from Egypt. They worship all kind of gods. And God said, Moses, I'll tell you what you're going to do. Tell your priest to get their swords out. Get your swords out. And I want them to go kill their brothers. Now, this is the God we're serving now. I want y'all to get this. Same God we're serving. Strap on your swords, and I want you to go kill your brother. They killed 3,000 that day. But that wasn't enough. God said, I'm going to send a plague on 20,000 of them. Wow. They put another God before him. This shows us how serious God is about you either going to worship him or whatever God you want. Better be him. If this example shows us anything. But I'm not done yet. After this situation, they go a little further. See, they're walking through the wilderness. And by the way, we're walking through a wilderness right now. And they're walking through this wilderness, right? You know the next thing that happened? Moses, why in the world did you and God bring us out here in this desert and feed us this useless bread that's dropping from heaven when we lived in Egypt and ate grapes and onions and garlic and we had all this good stuff to eat and you then brought us out here and we eating this bread falling from heaven, this loaf of whatever it was. They started complaining and complaining against God. Spoke against Moses. You know what God did? He brought a bunch of snakes around them. Snakes. And started biting the people. And they started dying. And God told him, he said, Moses, make you a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and raise it up. And when the people look at that bronze serpent on that pole, they'll live. That's a picture, really, of Christ. He took the place of the serpent. See, they, because of what they were doing, God was angry. Now, we don't like this kind of message, but I'm telling you how God thinks. We look at what how he sees things. Okay? Not how the world sees it. God killed so many of those people because of their complaining. They weren't satisfied. But there's another time. I'm just giving you incidents. There's another time that happened. Remember Kor, a guy named Kor. It's K-O-R-A-H. He got away. He got 250 men to follow him. And they started complaining again, personally, against Moses, and says, now Moses, how come you and Aaron get to run this show? How come you guys are the big dogs? How come y'all are the leaders? We could do it. So they raised up their little army, complaining against God Almighty and the leadership. God didn't like it. Moses goes to God. What am I going to do? God said, I'll tell you what you do. Tomorrow, you come before me with all the people. You put the ones that's complaining here. Rest them over here. And I'll take care of it. That's what he did. So he put them over there. Them over here the next day. And God told the people, all the people, says, today, God will choose who is in leadership today. You know what happened? The ground opened up and swallowed all of Carl and his men and all the rest that followed. Swallowed them alive in the ground, and God covered them up. That wasn't all of it, though. God put another plague on 14,000 of those people. Now, this is harsh. All because of complaining. Now, I don't know how God sees us when we complain, but I'm telling you how he thinks. But everything they complained about was really about him. Well, God, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't God do that? And it come to these disasters that fell upon these people. Because they really, bottom line, they wasn't trusting God. They was trusting their circumstances. They were looking at their situation. And was God in it? Evidently, they thought not. So they lost their trust in the God they said they was going to follow. Did you know that that whole crowd that come across that Red Sea, there was only two of the original, Caleb and Joshua, that actually went on. When when I studied this, I thought, you know, what can we learn from this? Because that's what Paul's trying to get us to see. What can you learn from it? What can I learn from it? Let us commit sexual morality. That's what I said. They would dance around the calf, being all excited about their letting their feelings run wild. They tempted Christ where the serpents destroyed them. Then they complained and they were destroyed. That's Kor's group. Just simply because they wouldn't trust the God that said he would care for them. Let's move on. Paul went on to say after he said that, he said, therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. It's a warning to all of us. Don't buy into this stuff that you can't fall away because it's hogwash. It's dangerous to have that attitude. No temptation has overtaken you except that's what's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, we all are tempted at times. Let me see if I get, oh yeah. Y'all remember Joseph and Potiphar's wife? I'll quickly go through that one. Joseph was the second in command. His wife, Potiphar's wife, Potiphar was number one. Potiphar's wife had a thing for Joseph. Anyway, Joseph went into the house. Y'all know the story, went into the house. And she made a move on him and was going to molest him or attempt. But you see, he had a fear of God. And you know what he did? He ran from that temptation. He ran. That's a good way to get out of it, right? But she grabbed his coat, his garment, and pulled it off of him, and he kept running. But she's got the garment. She goes to Potiphar. Look what that man tried to do. I had to protect myself. Now, he got thrown in jail for 2 years for that. Still cost him. But he done right in God's eyes. I think about Adam and Eve. Wonder how much different it would have been if Eve, when she was tempted and the old devil was tempting her, if she would have just, you know something? God told me not to mess with that tree. You know what I should have did? I should have ran. How many times are we tempted? We could run away from it. We could escape it if we would. This is what Paul's saying. Whenever we're tempted, God will make a way for escape. But we got to take it. We got to choose it. We got to take that choice. We got to make that choice. Because it's up to us how we live our lives, you see. We're going to do it for God or we're going to do it for ourselves. Because it's always that choice, how we deal with it. Always. This is the one that I struggled with. With everything that we've went through and said already, we come to the Lord's table. Isn't that odd? Look what he said. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread, one body, but we all partakers of the one bread. Why did he bring up the Lord's table here? With all he's been saying about temptations and about idolatry and about all of these things. I'll show you what I think. Paul is asking, what idol is between us and the God of this table? Because that's the warning here. What idol? What's out there that stands between you and the table? Meaning, this is where worship happens. Every Lord's Day we call to worship. What was going on with the Corinthians? They was trying to, let me say it. I think I got to get the next slide. Other words, Paul's saying, which God will you serve? Because he went on to say, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Paul's saying, make up your mind. What God are you going to serve? Go back to the first, thou shalt have no other gods before me, God said. That's a tough one, really. There's so much out here that draws us away. So many things out here that captivate our mind, our time, our heart. Very serious. God says, okay, he said, do you know this is a test? He went on to say in 2 Corinthians, he had to go to 2 Corinthians, I did, because at the end of the book, it starts getting down to the business. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. See, Paul was saying, one way to test ourselves is our commitment to the Lord's table. I didn't say that. This is what God's saying. Because this is one thing that has always, you go back to the Old Testament again, the one thing that you go back and look at, the one thing that aggravated God the most is trying to serve these other gods and coming and worshiping him. And he said, you know, Israel, he told Israel, I'm not putting up with this. I will not hear your songs. I will not listen to your words, your prayers. He said, if you try to do this, I'm done. I can't do this. God said that. Have you ever thought about our God being like this? That's who he is. And we are told when we come around this table to examine ourselves. Yeah, that's what he said. But we go to the book of Hebrew. It tells us why we fall into this trap, why Israel came to where they were, and why we can come to the same place. And it's easy for us to do this. Let me check my time out. It's easy for us to do this because, like I said, we busy people. We always got another reason, another way. And it's any one of us can fall into this. Any one of us at any time. The Hebrew writer says this. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion in the Old Testament. He said, in the day of trial, in which in the wilderness, where your fathers, look what? Where your fathers done what? Tested me and saw my works 40 years. Y'all know we could test God? Hey, look, I'm preaching myself here. We could test God by excluding ourselves, not just from this table. What about when we leave here in that world and then come here? Which guy are we serving here or gonna serve? Because I know from my own self, my own way, I found myself with another God or two sometimes. And I got to rearrange my thinking in my heart and say, well wait a minute. I gotta reel myself in here. Because our God wants our attention. Not Sunday morning only. 7 days a week. 24 hours a day. You say, well, gosh, I'm busy all the time, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing, how can I do that? Well, we're going to have to figure it out. Because I got to figure it out. You got to figure it out, too. I don't know how you're going to figure it out. I got to figure it out my way. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. I can't work yours out. You can't work mine out. I got to work it out. But we talked about it this morning. We all will answer one day at judgment where we find ourselves. Right? Now, hopefully, this is an encouraging message because it's a challenge for us, and you know it well as I do. We all in the walk, hopefully. That it's so hard sometimes to keep our thoughts, our minds, our way of life on Christ. We do. But God's good to us, and Calvin said it this morning, when we come around this table, we realize who we really are. And God's grace and his mercy and his forgiveness, he said, if you admit where you are, you know, I'll take care of that. We have to do that. We have to admit where we are. We have to, if we need a change to be made, we'll repent. Don't play games with the Lord because we might fool ourselves. We can't fool him. And repentance is a simple word. It means I'm going to change the situation. I might have to do it again a couple times. But, you know, I pray for all of us. It has been a challenge to us. And when I started putting this together, I said, man, this is hard. Because this shows a side of God we don't like to look at. God is a God of love. He is. Otherwise, he would have never died for us. He said, I love you so much, I'm going to lay my life down for you. And he did. And I love you so much, when you mess up, that's okay. You come around my table and let me know how that you realize you need me. It's not that hard. Or is it? So God is good, and we're going to have a song. If y'all like to stand and think about the challenges of life that we have.